It is time to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Who can remind me of what is it today? Anyone? Friday. Yeah, I know it's Friday. I can't hear you. Good Friday. Hallelujah. One thing is that when we were very young, I'm happy that the Friday school children also are here so that they will also know what I'm talking about. Many of us, when we were young, our parents have done so many things for us, giving us gifts. That time, we just felt that it is their duty to give us gifts, right? It is the duty of my dad to give me gifts. During my time, special food on this type of Easter period. Special food during Christmas. At the same time, we look for the gift of what? New clothes. That time, you may not value what your parents are doing. You may not value it. You just feel that, okay, this is what they're supposed to do. The same thing until you grown up and begin to look back, then you begin to think, oh, this is how my parents has really passed through stress to get this gift for me. Today, many of us, we want to buy gifts for our children, maybe in any mall. But because of the, what is it, money, flus, we are not able to do that. These are the sacrifices that our parents has done for us. But because now we are now doing the same thing, we begin to appreciate what our parents has done. Children that are here, that toy that your parents are buying for you, they have made sacrifice to do that. The same way Jesus Christ has done sacrifice for us. We may not know the impact of his sacrifice until you get closer to him. The choir said, "Thank you, the Lord, for the cross." I love that song. Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price for me and you. It is a special gift that Jesus Christ has given to you and me. Let's put our hand together for Jesus. So this afternoon, we'll be looking at a message titled, "The Power of the Cross, Love That Paid the Price." The power of the cross, the love that paid the price. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you and thank you, Lord, for your death on the cross. Lord, we lift your name up, we glorify you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you have made on our behalf. As we go into your word, Father, what you want to speak to us today, Father, establish it firmly in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. It might be a phrase, it might be a sentence, it might be a word. And when this word is spoken, Father, it shall not go bypass me in the mighty name of Jesus. That God will be with you and he continue to speak himself to you in Jesus' name. So shall it be, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. As we all know that we have come from various different nations, different culture, different background. But the good things is that we are all united by one powerful truth. We are united by one powerful truth. And what is this truth? The love of God shown through the cross of Jesus. Jesus has brought each and every one of us together. When we were talking about being a child of God or being children of God, we never think of east from west, east from north, east from south. We see ourselves as brethren. We are not seeing ourselves as east from Africa or east from Asia, east from Europe. No. We see ourselves as brothers and sisters. Again, let me ask you whether you have ever received something you did not deserve at all. Something, have you ever received anything? Is anyone here you have received something that you felt you don't deserve it? But the grace of God, the mercy of God has pushed it before you. Have you ever received forgiveness? Have you ever been given second chance? Or have you ever received unexpected kindness? Take a moment to think about it. Think deeply to think about it. Now, let us imagine that you have committed an offense and somebody just volunteered to stand to take your punishment. How will you feel? On your behalf, someone wants to volunteer that, yes, I need to take your punishment. Someone is taking the consequence of your action. You're supposed to take the consequence of your action, but someone else is taking it. Have you found yourself in this? Or has someone take your place for wrongdoings? That is what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. For our wrongdoings, he has paid the ultimate price on our behalf. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. We have studied the book of Romans. We have studied that of Ephesians as well. It is by grace you have been saved. Not by what? You can't remember? You are saved by what? By grace, not by work. Brothers and sisters, salvation is a gift that God has given unto us. Salvation is a gift. You cannot earn it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. Today we remember that Jesus laid down his life for you and me. We are remembering it today. We may not know the full impact of it, but today is a day of remembrance, the sacrifice that God has made, that Jesus Christ has made on the cross of Calvary. Today we call it Good Friday. Why is it called Good Friday? Why? Why do you think it's called Good Friday? Because when we look at the day itself, that day we are calling Good Friday, we may be seeing nothing specific about good about it. Why? Because it's a day that is full of pain, suffering, and even death. So what is the good thing about that? The good thing is about that is for you and me to live, that your sins have been carried away. Whatever it is, the pain, the suffering, and even the death do not matter, because God worked differently. For God has made his son to lay down Jesus Christ to lay down his life for us. He works differently. Romans 8:28 says, in nothing God works for good. Many of us, when we came to Oman, I'm sure many of us, before we come with our family, the brother might have come first, if it is brother that got job here. The sister might have come first, if it is sister. At that time, it looked the cloud of uncertainty is there, that you don't know what will happen. You may not even know whether you will find somewhere to worship. All this type of cloud, I'm using myself as experience. It's a cloud that will I get somewhere to worship? Leaving family behind, come to this land. It's a sacrifice that I've made. But over the time, God began to work differently. The beginning may not be good when you arrive in this country. Maybe you are facing challenges, but God worked differently and he began to show you his mercy. He begins to show you the path to follow. When I came to this country, it was the second Friday that I found the community that I belong to. And that community happened to be the Bread of Life Fellowship. Hallelujah. I arrived Friday morning. And that very Friday, when I was picked at the airport and taken to the guest room where I stay, a family came to pick me up and brought to take the children back to their home. I was extremely happy that, yes, I found a place of worship. And by the time I joined, I came the following Friday when I worshiped with Bread of Life Fellowship, I discovered that, yes, God is here. Hallelujah. That is the community that we are. We might be of different national or different community, but the community of God, that is the brethren in the church itself. So what seemed difficult later brought good into my life. Here I am today standing before you. It is not that I'm too perfect. You also find yourself here. You are sitting down in the presence of God. You have been blessed in this country. You shall continue to be blessed in Jesus' name. But can you think of a difficult season in your life that later brought good things into your life? I'm not here to share my personal experience, but I passed through a lot. But here I am today giving glory to God, and I'm sure many of us, we might be thinking, we might have similar experience. So think deeply. And think deeply of that season, but the good is here for you now. If you are still passing through challenge, I'm assuring you that that good season is here. Because of this Good Friday, good things will begin to happen in your life in Jesus' name. So Good Friday reminds us God is working. Even when we don't understand, it shows that God is still working. Good Friday looked like tragedy, but it is actually the greatest victory in history. That is why it is Good Friday. So when Jesus said it is finished, he was not giving up. He was just declaring victory. And that is why that Friday is Good Friday. Because victory has been what? Have been declared. Now let's walk through the journey of the cross. The transition that happened. Let's walk through it. Step by step, we'll be going through it. Let's talk about Gethsemane first. Jesus prayed and surrendered to God's will. Before the cross itself, there was guarding. In Gethsemane, Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch for me. Jesus Christ said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, and we call it Good Friday. This was deeply emotional pain, deep spiritual pressure, because Jesus knew what was coming. And what are those things? The suffering, the rejection, and the cross. And yet, what did he do? He prayed. Verse 39 of that scripture. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Hallelujah. He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. He was honest. Yes, Jesus Christ was honest. But then, he said, not my will, but yours be done. That is submission. The pain, the agony that is to come. He knows ahead. He knew those things that are coming. He said, if possible, condition. And again, he added, your will be done. Brother and sister, his surrendering is not weakness at all. I want you to know that. For Jesus Christ, surrendering is not weakness. Many of us face job uncertainty, family concern, even back home. We face it. The situation we cannot even control, many of us are facing it. So when life becomes overwhelmed, what is your first response? Do you begin to complain? Do you begin to say what you're supposed not to say? Or do you take control? Do you allow fear to take over? Or do you surrender the situation to the hand of God? Surrender to the pain. Surrender itself does not remove the pain. If you surrender, it doesn't remove the pain. Only when you handle it over to God, commit it unto God. Even sometimes, we pass through situation and you surrender everything to God. Satan will begin to come from every side. Begin to come from every side, try to remind you what it is not. But when you leave everything to the hand of God, you also will say, let your will be done. Not as I will, but as you will. Hallelujah. Surrender does not remove the pain, but it brings peace in the middle of it. When you hand over everything to God, you begin to remind yourself that, yes, Lord, I've handed over to you. You will have that peace of mind. Even when devil is trying to come around, that spirit will tell you that, yes, everything is in the hand of God. So, let's move on to the next transition. From the garden of surrender, Jesus now stepped into the betrayal. What is the betrayal of trust? The broken trust. Jesus was betrayed by a close friend. Not by enemy. By close friends. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing in our secret that we are betraying him, that we are broken the trust that Jesus Christ has given unto us? Judas greeted him with a kiss. A kiss means a symbol of love. But it turned to betrayal. This hurt because trust is broken. Betrayal is painful. If I betray any of you, you trust me and I betray you, that trust is broken. There are some people that felt that, yes, he has betrayed me, I will never forgive him. Betrayal is very painful. Because expectations are shattered. The expectations are shattered. We are living away from home. Yes? Relationship with family members also matter. Back home, maybe we are trusting someone. And when that trust is broken, it is hurt. So you will know what Jesus Christ has passed through. And Jesus understood this. He understands that the broken trust, the disappointment, and emotional pain. And what was his response? He did not respond with anger. He responded with what? Love and grace. He even called Judas friends. Jesus is still giving you the second chance also. Where have you betrayed him? In what area that you are connected to Good Friday, betraying him, betraying Jesus Christ? He's giving you the second chance. He's calling you friends. Is there anyone that hurt you here or somewhere else? And you are still holding on to it. Call him friends. Make peace with everyone. Do not hold on to it. Betrayal may break trust, but it does not have to break your heart forever. Because if someone betrays you and you hold it in your heart, each time you are seeing that person, something will first cut in your mind. At that moment, momentarily, you are disturbed. Hallelujah. Brethren, betrayal may break trust, but don't allow it to break your heart forever. What am I saying here? Has forgiving spirit. Remember his death on the cross of Calvary. We move to the next transition from betrayal. Jesus walked into injustice. The trial itself. The trial, that is the injustice that he has walked to. Jesus is falsely accused. We know that. No fairness, no justice. All they want to do is to nail him to the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was oppressed. He did not begin to talk. He tried. He maintained the job that God has given unto him. How do you maintain the assignment God has given to you? In the house of God, you might have given an assignment to lead a ministry or to lead something, or within you, God has put something in your mind to lead. Because somebody has done something, now you want to pull out. Or you are afraid. Or you begin to hold something in your mind. Why are you laughing? Someone was laughing. And I know why he's laughing. God will continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. That prayer is for you, that sister. Amen? So, whatever assignment God has given to you, don't look at side noise. Focus on it. Remember how Jesus has focused on the assignment. Even though through the injustice that is coming to him, he focused. Many of us, we understand this. Jesus being misunderstood, being treated unfairly, and being overlooked. Jesus responds. He did not fight back. You remember Brother Peter? What did he do? Drew off his sword and caught somebody. When I was young, I said, yes, I give Peter kudos. I was angry when Jesus also fisted back because I'm a child. The same way, Jesus maintained the assignment God has given unto him. He has not allowed any small red oil, we all know red oil, right, to touch his white garment. Because what Peter has done that very day, if he has not fixed it back, that might be that, okay, they are fighting for him. But he was still at peace with everybody, with everyone that were there. Brethren, when life is unfair to you, how do you respond? How do you respond to it when life is unfair? You may not control how people treat you, but you can choose how you respond. And that itself is a message that truly is a Christian. You can control that. You may not control how they treat you, how they talk about you, how they gossip about you. But you can control or choose how you respond. This is exactly what Jesus has done there. Because he was focused. He knew the assignment God has given unto him. Let's move to the next transition. From injustice, Jesus moved towards the cross, the crucifixion. And what is this all about? Love on display. That is what it's all about. And he says, Father, forgive them. Not anger, not revenge. That if I should command my Father in heaven to rain fire on you, he did not do that. He prayed for them. He asked for forgiveness on their behalf. And what is the meaning of this? The cross is not just for suffering. It is love in action. Love in what? In action. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By those stripes you are healed. So Jesus bore our sins. And this takes us back to the promise for this week that we have read. Next slide, sister. The promise for the week. And I read it once again. It's taken from Romans 6, 5. That is where it's coming from. Before then, understand that not only did Jesus die for us, he's also inviting us to be united with him. Now, when you read that the Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what are the meaning of this? What meaning can we bring out from there? Next slide. His death become our death to sin. And that is what makes that Friday to be good. Because Jesus' death become our death to sin. His victory becomes our victory. That's what makes that Friday to be good Friday. Because we are victorious. You and me, we are victorious. Hallelujah. His resurrection becomes what? Our new lives. And that's what makes it what? Good Friday. Even though he suffered, but his resurrection becomes our new life. The cross is not just something Jesus did. It is something we are called to participate in. So when Jesus died, our old life died with him. And when he rose, we are given a new life. And that's what made that Friday to be good. So if you are hearing Good Friday, Good Friday, and it's the day Jesus Christ was killed, was crucified. The impact of the assignment of Jesus Christ shows that, yes, it is Good Friday. Because it is good for you and me. His death become our death to sin. His victory become our victory. And his resurrection become our new lives. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this changes everything. We are not just forgiving. We are transformed. We don't just remember the cross. We live in his power. That's what we do. Is there an area in your life where you need to die to sin? Is that particular place in your life that you need to die to sin? So that you can live the new life. So that those things will not continue to torment you, to harass you, to disturb your mind, to give you unrest of mind. Because if those things begin to follow you, you are not living the new life, the old life is with you. Your mind will keep reminding you about every messages you are hearing from this altar. That pastor has said it, this leader has said that. Even within your home cell, your mind will begin to judge you. Brothers and sisters, like I said, is there an area in your life where you need to die to sin so that you can live a new life? The cross is not the end of the story. It is just the beginning of new life. How many years this has happened again? That has happened. But here we are today, we are still we are enjoying that benefit of his life that he has laid down for us a long time back. So, The question is there someone you need to forgive? Love is not just a feeling. Love is a sacrifice. From this, we move to the next transition. The next transition, the seventh saying of Jesus. And the meaning, seventh saying. I know these are the things we already know, but let's go through it chronologically and see what it means. Number one, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. If you read Luke 23, verse 34, this is a prayer of forgiveness for his persecutors. It's a prayer of forgiveness for his persecutors. Maybe somebody just gave you a small elbow. You never have forgiving spirit. Maybe somebody has made a comment that you feel offended. Because of that, you are not praying for him. Jesus is reminding us to pray for our persecutors. That's why those in the mission field, even though they are being beaten, they still pray for them because God has given them that assignment. Number two, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is a promise. A promise of what? Next. A promise of salvation to the thief on the cross. Don't think it's that thief only that is still thief. Many of us here, we are still doing one thing or the other that we are stealing from God. God is promising us. We need to surrender. We need to recognize him. So that promise of salvation can be ours in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three, woman, behold her son. Behold the mother. That is John 19, 26 to 27. I shot it. You can as well read that yourself. You can see. So, what is Jesus trying to say here? Jesus is ensures his mother, Mary, is cared for by the beloved disciples. That is what Jesus Christ is trying to ensure his mother. That she'll be taken care by the beloved disciple. Let's move to number four because of our time. Number four, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15:34 or Matthew 27:46. This is a cry of abandonment as he bear the world's sin. It's a cry of abandonment, the pain that he passed through. Number five, I test. John 19:28. This is an expression of physical agony and fulfilling prophecy. That is what Jesus Christ is expressing there. What the pains that he passed through. And number six says, it is finished. A declaration of triumphs signifies his earthly mission and suffering are complete. The assignment that God has given unto him is complete. That is the declaration. And lastly, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. That is a final calm. Surrender of his life. Everything becomes calm. And after that, thunderous things happened. To show that, yes, the assignment has been fulfilled. So, brethren, even on the cross, Jesus was speaking about forgiveness. He forgives others. He talks about salvation. This is hope for us, for you and me. He talks about compassion. That is care for others. He talks about separation. He carries our sin. We are being separated from our sin. Humanity, he talks about humanity. He understands you and me. And he talks about victory. It is finished. It is what? It is finished. That is, it is over. That problem that you are facing, Jesus is confirming now that it is what? It is finished. You shall testify to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, what is speaking to you out of all this today? What meaning does the cross mean to you? The God's love? What meaning are you seeing from there? Parent, we are making sacrifice. Jesus has paid for our sins. He took our place and he has given us freedom. Are you still carrying guilt towards somebody? Reconcile with whosoever that you are having guilt with. This is the message of Good Friday for us. Reconcile, reflect on those things. Because reconciliation will bring you near and more closer to God. Within your mind, you'll be happy that you have reconciled with God. So, brethren, as we sit, let's bow our head and reflect on all the message we have had this afternoon. Whatever be your burden, place it before God. The burden, place it before him now. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, I will give you rest." Brethren, it is time for you to receive that grace. Turn to God, forgive others, and live differently. Remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Take one step this week to reconcile. Because begin to imagine that someone has stepped forward to take your punishment. And that person that stepped forward to take your punishment is Jesus Christ. While we are still sinners, Christ died for you and me. Hallelujah. I believe we have committed everything to the hand of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for the cross. Help us, Lord, to live in your grace, to forgive others, to trust you fully in whatever we do. Be with every family that are here. Be with every family that are far away from here. Father, let this message be firmly rooted in our hearts, and let your name always be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. That's the end of the message for you. Happy Easter. And God bless his word as I call Pastor.